Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. Amen. I am so grateful to the men and to the women who have died serving our country. I think it's right. I think it's good to remember and to honor their sacrifice, to honor their lives that they laid down. I also think that it is appropriate to differentiate between Memorial Day, which we're celebrating this weekend and tomorrow in particular, and then what's known as Veterans Day that we celebrate in November. Veterans Day celebrates the service of all United States military veterans, while Memorial Day honors those who had died while in service, military service. And so today we honor the men and the women who died while in service to our country, and we remember them and we honor them and we say thank you for their sacrifice. And we remember that it's their sacrifice that allows us to continue experiencing our freedoms that we enjoy as American citizens. And one of the freedoms and one of the rights that we enjoy is the right to believe whatever we want to believe. We have that right to believe whatever we want to believe. And not only do we have the right to believe what we want to believe, but also we have the right to change our mind about what it is that we believe. Just moving through our life, if we decide, hey, we want to think about things differently and believe things differently, we have that right. We can do that. I titled my message today, Remembering Your Right to Believe, not only because it's appropriate on this Memorial Day weekend, but also because it coincides with what the text says in John's letter, 1 John, that we've been working our way through. He's going to talk about some things that followers of Jesus believe, things that are true about the Son of God. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible, or turn your Bible on to 1 John chapter 2. Today, our text is going to focus on verses 18 through 29. And in this part of the letter that John wrote, John is reminding the ones that he loves so much in the faith. He actually calls them at the beginning of chapter 2, my dear children. I mean, these are people that he deeply, deeply loves. Deeply loves them as children of his in the faith. And he's going to talk with them about remembering and focusing their hearts and their minds about what they believe, particularly what they believe about Jesus as the Son of God. And friends, there is truth and there are falsehoods. And John's not mad at anybody as we're working through his letter. He's just telling them the truth as their father in the faith, to his sons and daughters in the faith, some things that are true about Jesus and true about our Heavenly Father. And then he's going to say there's some things that aren't true. But before we read this section of John's letter that we're going to get into here in a little bit, I want to share with you something that I read from Dr. Jim Dennison. It came back to my mind as I was studying this passage and preparing this message. And what he wrote in one of his many articles that he writes, he is a prolific writer, Dr. Jim Dennison. But as I was studying, something he wrote last summer actually came back to my mind about what people believe and how sometimes there is a change in what we believe. And remembering that we have the right to believe and we have the right to change our minds about what we believe. So let me share with you some of what he wrote in this article and then a letter that he included in this article as well. It came about last summer that he wrote in an article concerning a singer and songwriter that's very popular in our culture right now. Her name is Billie Eilish. And Billie Eilish said some things on one of her podcasts that dealt with her beliefs and how her beliefs had changed over the course of her life. So Jim Dennison writes in his article on July the 22nd, 2020, he writes, "Billie Eilish is an 18-year-old American singer and songwriter. And earlier this year, she became the youngest ever to win the four main Grammy categories, Best New Artist, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Album of the Year, all in the same year." In a new episode of her podcast that's called Me and Dad Radio, Billie Eilish opened up to her father about her past faith and how it has impacted her views of religion today. Eilish says, quote, "I don't know if any of you know, I don't think I've ever talked about it. When I was a little kid, I was super religious for no darn reason. My family never was religious. I didn't know anyone that was religious. And for some reason, as a little girl, I just was incredibly religious." She continues on. "And then at one point, I don't know what happened. It just completely went away. Now," she says, "I've loved the idea of other beliefs. And I think people with closed minds, people like me from a couple of years ago, I think that's very pathetic to have a closed mind. It's very lame." And then in the podcast, Billie Eilish went on to describe where she is with her current beliefs. She said, quote, "I don't not believe, and I don't do believe. I'm in a very neutral position. I'm open to every belief, pretty much." And then she added that she loves, quote, "the idea that there's a God. So why not? I mean, how would I know? I'm not going to say I know. I don't. Nobody knows." Dr. Dennison continues in his article, and he acknowledges Billie Eilish's beliefs are important, not just because of her cultural influence, but because she speaks for so many people. Dennison says, "I'd like to respond to her in a way that I hope is helpful. Helpful to you as you engage with people that you know who share her beliefs. In addition," Dennison writes, "I have long championed the belief that we should not say about someone what we are not willing to say to someone, based on the principle that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. And in that spirit," Dennison writes, "I'll share with you the letter that I emailed to Billie Eilish this morning." My letter to Billie Eilish from Dr. Dennison. "Billie, I am a Christian minister and writer in Dallas, Texas. I read about your comments on religion in your latest podcast and wanted to thank you for your honesty in saying what so many people think. You said that to be religious is to have a, quote, closed mind, and that we should be, quote, neutral about belief in God since, quote, nobody knows whether God is real." Dennison writes, "Growing up, I felt the same way. My father was a very religious man when he was a young man. But when he enlisted in the army during World War II, he experienced such horrible atrocities that he never attended church again. As a result, I grew up like you in a home with no religious practices at all. I used to stare at the sky at night, wondering if there's a God up there. I decided that there's no way to really know. So we should be open to everyone's beliefs, and we should tolerate all viewpoints. When I was 15 years old, some friends invited me to attend their church. For the first time, I heard the message of Christianity. The God who made us loves us so much that he sent his son to offer us a personal, life-changing relationship with himself. If we will ask Jesus to forgive us of our mistakes, which we've all made, and invite him to be our Lord, he will give us new life on earth and eternal life in heaven. I asked Jesus for this new life, and he heard my prayer. He changed my life, and he gave me hope and peace that I have found nowhere else. However, my new faith in Jesus, it didn't answer all my questions. And like you, I wondered how we can know if God exists and whether any religion is the right one. I've spent the last 4 decades seeking answers to those questions. Let me share 3 discoveries that I've made. First, I discovered that there is amazing evidence for the existence of God, the historicity of Jesus, and the truthfulness of the Bible. This evidence does not answer all of our questions or remove all of our doubts, but it does show that the Christian faith is reasonable and it's based on facts. Second, I learned that to be, quote, open to every belief, as you suggested, is hard to do when those beliefs contradict each other. If you believe your father is alive and I believe that he's not, well, one of us must be wrong. In the same way, if Jews are right in saying that Jesus is not the Messiah, Christians are wrong for saying that he is. If the 5 pillars of Islam are the right path to heaven, then all other religions are wrong. Rather than different roads up the same mountain, it's as though there are different keys to open heaven's door, and if one works, the others do not. Third, I discovered that Jesus offers not a religion, but a relationship. Religions teach a path to find God through our efforts, while Christianity teaches that God has come to find us. Our hope is not based on what we can do, but what Jesus has done. However, as with every relationship, this relationship cannot be proven, only experienced. I cannot prove to you that I love my wife or that she loves me. You'd have to know us personally to experience what we experience. And it's the same way with knowing whether God exists or not. The best way to answer the question is to experience him for yourself. And if you will do what I did, asking Jesus to forgive your mistakes, something that we all need to do, and to become your Lord, then He will give you a life that is filled with hope and purpose and joy. It's been said that Christians are beggars helping beggars where to find bread, and I am honored to share my bread with you. Jim Dennison, Dallas, Texas. P.S. If you would like to talk about the hope that we can experience in Jesus, you can reach me anytime through our website at denisonforum.org. Man, when I read that article from Dr. Dennison, and I read that letter that he penned and sent to Billie Eilish, I just thought, wow, what a thoughtful, what a gentle, what an articulate, non-judgmental and yet engaging response, offering a perspective, offering a personal experience to some of what Billie Eilish was saying about her beliefs and about her journey of changing her mind about some of her beliefs throughout her time, her life. And maybe as you've listened to that, maybe you can relate to what she's saying, to what Dr. Dennison's saying. Maybe your beliefs about God have shifted over the course of your life, have changed over the course of your life. Maybe what you believed in one season of life about God is not at all what you believe about God at this season of your life. And aren't you glad, I am, that we live in a country that allows us on a day like today to just stop and to remember we have the right to believe what we want to believe because men and women sacrificed their lives for us to enjoy these freedoms and these rights. But let me ask you this question to think about. Where are you in your beliefs about Jesus? Where are you right now in your beliefs about Jesus? I mean, it sounds like some things have been shifting, some things have changed in Billie Eilish's life about what she believes about Jesus over the different seasons of her life. And just as Dr. Dennison reached out to Billie Eilish, as her beliefs have been changing, that's what the Apostle John is doing in this part of his letter. He's reaching out to followers of Jesus that he loves, that he's concerned about when it comes to what they believe about Jesus. So let's move from the article and from the letter to Billie Eilish from Dr. Dennison into the letter that John writes to those who claim to be followers of Jesus and may even have some beliefs shifting at this time in their life. Let's open back up to John, 1 John rather, chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. Let's read through our text. We'll make a few observations about his words concerning the truth about Jesus, and then we'll wrap our time up and move into a few moments of worshiping the Lord Jesus together before we wrap our moments up together. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. It says this, "Children, it's the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, And because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he or she who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. Verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from Him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. Verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So John, he is writing to the ones that he loves in the faith. Those men and women, boys and girls that he helped lead, that he helped pastor, that he's done life with, and watched their faith grow and mature. And he's still telling them the truth. He's telling them the truth. He's saying, dear children, there are people, he calls them, he labels them antichrists, literally anti-messiahs. People not believing, not following Jesus as the one and only true Messiah. These antichrists, these anti-messiahs are changing their minds about what they believe about who Jesus is. They don't believe any longer like they once did, or perhaps they never did. They deny that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. And you know what? They have the right to believe that. They have the right to change their mind. Just know what they are choosing to believe about Jesus is not the truth. In fact, John says it's a lie that they are choosing to believe. Don't follow suit. Warning. Danger. That's what John's saying. He's saying, I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Now, you have the right to believe whatever you want, but just know there is truth. And there are lies, especially when it comes to who Jesus really is. Don't fall for the lies. John's saying, remember what you really believe about Jesus. That's what John's encouraging them to do in verses 20 and 21. Look again. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because what? You know it. And because no lie is of the truth. John's saying, friends, you have been anointed. You have been anointed. Literally, You have been Messiah'd. The word anointing and Messiah is the same word in the original language. You have been Messiah'd. John is saying here, when you put your faith, hope, and trust, your belief in Jesus as the Messiah, He then Messiah'd you. He anointed you with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who now lives in you based upon the truth of the authority of God's Word. That's what God's Word says is true about you. When you put your faith, hope, and trust, and you believe in Jesus, He Messiahs you with Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's what the Word of God teaches, that Jesus takes away our sin. What is sin? Sin is anything we do, say, or think that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think. So it's based on God's definition, not your definition, not culture's definition, not society's definition. It's what God decides is sin, anything He doesn't want us to do, say, or think that we have done, said, or thought. And the Scripture, the Word of God, says Jesus takes away our sin. Jesus forgives you of our sin. And Jesus takes up residence in our lives by the person of the Holy Spirit. The expression of God. God in three persons. Father, Son, and who? Say it with me. Holy Spirit. That's who lives in you. You've been Messiah'd. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. And now you not only know the truth, but what John is saying is the Holy Spirit, the embodied truth, lives in you. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. You, dear children, you, men and women, you, beloved, are a temple, a flesh and blood temple of the living God. The Apostle Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. You are a temple of the living God. This is what is true, and this is who you are as a believer in Jesus, who put his or her faith, hope, and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. John's saying, remember who you are. Remember what you believe. Remember what you have learned. Remember what you have been taught by the ones who love you the most. Be careful of people trying to get you to believe the contrary, believe lies, especially people who don't really know you, people who don't have a long track record with you. If you just met them on social media, they don't have a long track record with you. Who are the people that you know that know you and have a long track record with you? John says, be careful. There are people targeting you and what you believe. That's what John is warning these believers in Jesus about. Look at verse 26. I want you to underline a phrase here because it's important. John says in verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are, say this next phrase with me, trying to deceive you. Would you underline that in your Bible? Would you highlight that phrase in your Bible? Trying to deceive you. What are they trying to deceive you about? They're trying to deceive you about the truth of who Jesus is as the Messiah, the one and only Son of God. That's what they're trying to deceive you about. Look back at verse 22 and following. There are truth tellers and there are liars. Deceivers. When it comes to what is true about Jesus. Look at verse 22 and following. Who is the liar but he or she who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. And whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us. Say these next two words with me. Eternal life. Would you say those two words again? Eternal life. One more time, because these are two important words. Eternal life. Underline those two words, eternal life. Circle them, highlight them, box them. Don't miss this promise that Jesus actually makes in another of John's writings. John recorded in his gospel what Jesus had to say about eternal life. And Jesus actually defines eternal life for those who believe in Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, in Him and in Him alone as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one, the only Son of God. Those are the ones who get to experience eternal life. And Jesus defines it clearly. What eternal life is. John records it in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3, when Jesus says these words right here, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus defines eternal life here. Jesus is talking about eternal life as being in a relationship with Holy God through Himself. It's what Jim Dennison was writing in his letter to Billie Eilish. Don't you remember what he said? He said, "I discovered that Jesus offers not a religion, but what? A relationship." He says, "Religions teach a path to find God through our efforts, while Christianity teaches that God has come to find us. Our hope is not based on what we can do, but what Jesus did for us." Very different. However, Tennyson says, as with every relationship, this relationship, it can't be proven, it can only be experienced. It's the same way with knowing whether God exists or not. The best way to answer the question is to experience God for yourself. And if you'll do what I did, Tennyson writes, asking Jesus to forgive your mistakes, something we all need to do, and ask Him to become your Lord, Jesus will give you a life that's filled with hope, that's filled with purpose, that's filled with joy. Remember, it's been said that Christians are beggars helping beggars find bread, and I'm honored to share my bread with you. Friends, that's what John's doing in his letter. In his own way, he's doing the same thing that Jim Dennison was doing in his letter. Reminding people to remember what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus. One that leads to knowing Him intimately and personally and experientially. And one that leads to eternal life. So let me ask you a question. Have you experienced that kind of a relationship with Jesus? Is that what you really believe about Jesus? That you can know Him personally, intimately, experientially leaning into a relationship with Jesus? If not, remember something today. You have the right to change what you believe. You have the right to remember what you once may have thought you believed. Remember what has been taught about God's love that came from heaven to earth in the form of God in the flesh, Jesus. You have the right to remember that Jesus loves you. You have the right to remember that Jesus died for you. Will you remember that Jesus, when He went to the cross, defeated sin, death, Satan, and hell for you and for the whole world that He so loved? Will you remember that you can have an eternal life kind of a relationship with Him that can start today or be remembered and resume today if you will return to Him, if you will abide in Him like John said over and over and over, if you will repent of your sin? What does that mean? Repentance is a big word that just means rethink the way you think about things and go in a new direction. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is about a king. Jesus is the king. He's saying, repent about the way you think about life. Repent. You're not the king. You need to rethink the way you think about who sits on the throne of your life. It's Jesus. If it's been you, you need to get off the throne of your life and invite Jesus to His rightful place once again. You have the freedom to return to that right kind of relationship. You have the freedom to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. If you do that, based on the truth and the authority of God's Word, you will be saved. Saved from what? Sin, death, Satan, and hell, and an eternity separated from Him. Who wants that? Not me. I want life. Eternal life. Life that's only found in His name. That's the truth. And there are many others who are trying to deceive you, to say that's not the truth, that's narrow-minded, intolerant, religious extremism. And Jesus is going, those who abide in My word are truly My disciples. And then they will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you free today?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapaho Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapaho Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.